You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Listen to this program the last couple weeks, you know that Chris Cox immigrated to Hawaii and was in doubt whether he would ever return to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts where he fucking belongs. But lo and behold, he went home. And giving credence to the saying, all good things must come to an end. So Chris joins us now because he sent me a text and said he had lost weight on vacation, which pissed a lot of people off. So I figured we would have him on and get an update, first on his vacation, and then how the hell do you lose weight on vacation? So joining us now from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, before he's getting ready to go snow skiing, is Chris Cox. Chris, how are you? Aloha.
Aloha, sir. I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good on this Monday morning. What about, so let's talk to you about, first of all, how long have you been going to Hawaii to vacation? It sounds like you've been going for a number of years.
Yes, sir. I started going to Hawaii in 1995, and I went for, 11 years, and then I took, I didn't go for about three, and, on a 12-year run now. So we've been out there 23 times.
Wow. I've never been.
You'll enjoy it. When you get out there in April, it looks like you see on TV, only better. And it's a whole other world. It really is. And like the Aloha spirit and the local people, if you take a little bit of time to learn about them and not just be a tourist, they're very happy and to let you know about things about Hawaii, little local stuff that makes it more personal.
All right, well I'll remember that. The now talk to me, did you see anything this time that you hadn't seen before? You look like you get around the island a little bit, and it looks like you do a little bit of historical touring. So as somebody else who loves history, any place you tell me you got to go other than Pearl Harbor and where else should I make sure that I go and see?
Well, on Oahu, you obviously have Pearl Harbor. That's a no brainer. And then, you also have the Punch Bowl Cemetery on Oahu, and that's it's a gigantic national cemetery. There's lots of people buried there, primarily from the World War II conflict and probably Korea and Vietnam.
I'm pretty sure my great uncle's name is on the Punch Bowl. He was killed when the destroyer he was serving on, he was a gunnery officer, hit a landmine west of Okinawa and crumpled the front part of the ship. He was killed. So I'm pretty sure that his name is on the Punch Bowl.
And they didn't recover his body, I'm assuming?
No, they did recover his body.
They did? Okay.
Well, but here's what I don't know. Back in the day, when something like that happened, you were buried at sea because they didn't have the means. They couldn't helicopter your remains off to someplace else because the helicopter had yet to be invented. And they didn't have the means on the ship to, refrigerate 18
preserve,
bodies,
yep.
So they were buried at sea. And so I believe he was buried at sea.
Okay. Now, when you say he was a gunner, excuse me, sir. One second, please. When he was a gunnery officer, was he enlisted or was he an officer?
No, he was a commissioned officer.
Oh, okay. Because my wife's father was... he was an E-5, 3, 4 or 5, but he worked in the guns, working Fire control, I think it was his term, you know. But
Well,
that's
I was watching last week another episode in the whole Battle of Samar thing. And one of the things, as I've learned more and more about that battle, one of the things that I've I that kind of got my interest was the USS Johnston is at 6 o'clock in the formation of Taffy 3, and they're headed away from the direction that the Japanese, right, the Middle Task Force is coming, right? Well, Captain Evans, he turns the Johnston around, and and they open up the throttles. Now, the task the Johnston had primarily been assigned before that, they'd done a lot of shelling at places like Eniwetok and Kwajalein, and so I want to say their gunnery was really good. And when in the first in the opening shots of the of that fight, they blow up the bridge of, I want to say, one of the heavy cruisers, and then right behind that, their torpedo run rips off the bow of another one of the heavy cruisers. So right away, the Johnston lands two thunderous right hooks. And so in the thing I was watching, it showed how they used to, the fire direction officer would compute the solution, right, to the target. And that data had to be communicated to each gun. Well, they had, for lack of a better term, analog computers, right? That he would put the data in, and each one of the guns would be adjusted for it. Now, I saw this thing, and it's this huge wall of things with dials and shit on it, and I was fascinated. So now I'm kind of very intrigued about World War II gunnery and how they connected all the guns to the fire direction officer, and how that whole system works. So I'm curious about that now.
I just kind of thought it would have been a map, a slide rule, and a bunch of smart guys there,
Right, kind of
you know.
like an FDC, which is kind of what I thought, that maybe, that you assign the target, and then, but I'm thinking, so every one of those gun turrets on a naval warship was crewed independently, which was, I guess, my assumption. But after watching this thing, right, it showed, the fire direction officer's, station, and where he was, above the bridge, I believe, in on most ships, and then so he could see, and then this bank of analog gauges that relayed his solution to individual guns. And that's how they tracked it. And they ripped the shit out of that cruiser. They shot like 40 rounds of 5-inch guns into the bridge. And I was watching somebody talk about, how incredibly accurate, right, the gunfire from the USS Johnston was, and then seeing where they had come from kind of explains it in terms of, trying to knock out the precision required to try to knock out individual gun emplacements, right, in the area of the invasion that you were supposed to service. So interesting stuff.
Here's another question about that too. Think of this, sir. When we're out on the range, we're firing 200, 300, 500. That was my experience.
Right.
So wind, windage, elevation. Say you're putting rounds down range at 500 yards. Rounds going to travel farther. You're going to have to aim further, right, left, up
Right,
and down to
right,
get it on.
right,
Now those destroyers, they're not just shooting. They're not just firing rounds out of one emplacement on the ship. At two at minimum, probably more. So, and the ships are big, and the difference between the di like the rear gun and the front gun, say there's 250 feet, but you shoot that thing 10 miles, 250 feet multiply times 10 miles, does he have to do an individual solution for each gun mount too?
Yes, that's what these computers, I believe, did. These computers translated his solution into target and elevation for every gun given their distances in terms of, on the ship. Because look, let's just say one gun's, 75 yards away from the other. They shoot the same solution, right? You're going to have rounds that aren't even close, right?
Right, exactly. That's, yeah, exactly, sir.
So, yeah. No, I
don't understand how complicated stuff is.
Well, and then, I mean, obviously they didn't have computers the way we know them today. So how did they solve it? And the same thing with torpedoes. How did they put a solution on a torpedo that was going to run for 5 miles and then still hit something? I mean, that's.
And with those guys, it was all in their head because it's they're underwater. They're not seeing the impact of the rounds, or maybe one guy is,
But I
where
think
and
he's.
then.
But I think he had a machine too that helped him. It wasn't just him using a slide rule, or maybe it was. But I've gotten interested in that now, so I've got to figure that out. Okay, so the Punch Bowl, Pearl Harbor. Give me one more that I make sure that I see.
That's on Oahu. I haven't spent a lot of time on Oahu, so I've been over there a few times. I can't really tell you another thing on Oahu for history.
All right. I
What I
accept
would
that.
do, what I think a good thing to do, sir, would be to learn about the culture of Hawaii. It's a very diverse culture, and you can learn that by going to, say, the Iolani Palace. Or like Polynesian Cultural Center to learn about like pre-contact with European society, and because people came from Polynesia up to Hawaii and developed a society there, and so their culture has value, and is so you could learn about them and how they survive, how they lived on the island, how they developed the land. How they manage the land, they manage, they call the land the Aina. There's a great deal of love for the Aina because that's what supports them. I think learning about Hawaii itself and the people that would add to your general knowledge of it and a better appreciation. For example, this year, I was talking to a guy, and like everybody knows what the shaka sign is, I guess. It's the thumb out and little finger up and three fingers down, and you shake it. It's supposed to be hang loose. And I was talking to a guy over there, and a local guy owns a business. We were just chit chatting, and apparently there was a person over on Oahu that he was working in the cane fields, and he lost some fingers, so they put him in charge of moving kids of the cane kid. The children of the cane workers moving them around to go to school and stuff, and he would wave them across the street, going like, "Okay, let's go," with the missing the three fingers. So that's kind of you don't know if it's true or not, but it's like a story. They do a thing called talk story in Hawaii, because none of their records were written down, and so you talk story, and that's a story that's developed over the years. If it's true or
Yeah.
not, it may have some basis, it may not,
Who cares? Like, let's not let the truth get in the way of a good story,
A good story, exactly, sir.
right? I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Let's talk about you upset a lot of people when you said you had lost weight on vacation. Okay, because
I heard
most
Dave question that, actually.
he was
I just
pissed.
existed on onions.
He was pissed because most people don't have that experience. So, let me ask you, what's the secret to losing weight on vacation?
I'm going to say, first off, doing on vacation what you do at home. We've spoken in the past about not blowing it up on holidays. You've worked hard to achieve a certain level of weight loss and you want to feel better. I feel that doesn't give you license to blow it up and say, "Oh, I can eat half the pie today because it's Thanksgiving." Honestly, if you're not accustomed to eating like that, I know it would make me sick. So I would think it's going to make you sick, and you're going to gain some weight too. On vacation, the most challenging times I feel are travel days, because travel is it can be difficult, and you're not, you don't have good food choices, and you're on, you know, you're, you tend to make bad, you don't have the good opportunity to make good choices. So, travel day, eat normally in the morning, stay hydrated, have some fruit, try to have something decent, like a sa try a sandwich. When we were coming home this time, I think I walked around to three different places before I finally figured out what I could eat.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you as now a frequent traveler that that's you're making a mistake. You've got to plan the food for that day, the day before. And that means if you need to go, to a deli and get a sandwich or make sure that you have the fruit, you pack that and don't go near the stewardess, and you're completely self-contained for the day. You get up, you have a, you have a healthy breakfast, whatever you have. And then you have whatever you're going to eat on the plane, with you. And now the Hawaii to Boston, that's a pretty long day. But for most of us, if we're just flying coast to coast, it's going to be a single meal, and make it a healthy meal and make it, and have some fruit. And stay away from the airport food. But there are some healthy choices in the airport. You can go buy sandwiches in the airport and things like that. But what you're talking about is staying away from the pizza, and the fast food and all the rest of that stuff. And
Yeah,
I don't think that's that. I if you just and that's what I do. I just plan ahead. I make sure that I grab, some kind of a healthy sandwich, and I throw it, with the packages of mustard, in my backpack, and I have my Crystal Light, and I might grab a I will grab some fruit, and I will grab something else to snack on, and that's my meal for the day. And I don't know why that for whatever reason that makes me really happy. For it makes me really happy with that I'm self-contained, I'm not hungry, I'm not binge eating or whatnot. So I think it takes a little bit of planning, and that's it. You'll be good.
Yeah, you've you've made a plan, you've stuck with it, and you've been responsible for yourself. So just those three steps make it a positive thing. One
Okay,
thing coming.
let's go back. So what you're saying is, when you go on vacation, take your fitness program with you, right? Modify it as needed, but take your fitness program with you, right? Take your good eating habits with you. And if you do those things, that you too can lose weight on vacation, even if you might be eating a little bit more, you're probably going to be walking around and moving around doing tourist stuff that you probably might burn some of that off. But if you're doing regular exercise, you shouldn't gain weight on vacation, yay or nay?
I don't think you should be should have to gain weight on vacation, sir. I really don't. I mean, it depends upon what type of vacation you're going on. This is obviously, beach, swimming, all, water sports activities, that sort of thing. One sec before I lose track, you were saying about bringing food with you. One thing in, coming out of Hawaii that makes it very complicated is that you're not allowed to take any sort of fruit or vegetable off the island. So you got to go through like an agricultural inspection. So they're going to take bananas, any kind of basically unpackaged food, they're going to take it away from you.
Got it. But if you but if you know that, you can take packaged food, right? You can get stuff at the you can buy healthy stuff at the airport. And that's my point, is if you just plan a little bit ahead, you don't get forced into, bad food decisions. And again,
Right, the
just with
pepperoni cheese slice.
yeah, as much again, as much as I love pepperoni pizza, if you're trying not to gain weight, there's a method to it. But again, so you didn't do anything special on vacation. You were just more active.
I was more active and I didn't eat lunch, like I would normally would, and I tended to eat less in the day, at the end of the day. We like tacos quite a bit. There's a great selection over there. So what I would tend to do is rather than I would go to the tacos, but I would just scrape. I would eat the vegetables and the protein in it and the cheese. You know, I'm not going to eat the carbs and the taco shell, that sort of thing.
Got it. All right, so continue your PT program while on vacation, right? And that coupled with probably moving around a little bit more, and then just maybe being a little bit careful with what you eat, you could probably at least maintain your weight and not gain weight, and the greater activity might actually help you lose weight. But you stopped eating lunch, so you cut your Well, arguably, you cut your calories while you were on vacation.
Easily by a third, sir. Yes.
Wow. Most people don't do that on vacation. They easily double their caloric intake.
Well, sir, on the opposite side of the spectrum,
Hey,
in
and I
my
don't,
estimate,
hey, I don't want to throw Big Dave under the bus, but that sounds like what he does.
what he does, he eats too much, or.
Look, I don't want to like call him out or anything, but it sounds like, yeah, he was like not happy to hear what you had to say,
Well, you know, the truth lands with a thud, sir. And
right?
you know, I sent you that, you know, you have the data and the pictures, so
The truth lands with a
that's
thud and needs no salesman, Dave, so fuck you. Nice. I like that. I like that on a Monday morning. There you go. There you go. Wow. Wow.
now on the opposite side of the spectrum, sir,
Yes.
in the 90s we used to go to a hotel and stay there, and they had buffet breakfast included. Okay, so just think, buffet breakfast, free, fat guy, it's a recipe for disaster.
And
And so
let me
we
tell
used to
you,
go.
and from the voice of experience, right?
Yo, absolutely, sir. 1 year I gained 22 pounds on vacation
Now, see
because,
that would make Dave happy right there. He's like,
oh,
yeah,
I'm sure.
that's what I'm talking about.
Yep. Because you hammer in the breakfast and then you go to the beach or play golf, because I wasn't as active then. And then we used to go out to you know go out and hit like the high-end dining stuff at night and just crush it. And yeah, I remember that, 22 pounds. So that will never happen again.
Well,
Never,
see, and
ever, ever.
Dave's saying, yeah, so it makes my 8 pounds look like nothing. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's what he really wanted to hear. Yeah. So Dave hating on your ass up there in Baggerville.
Yeah,
So
I caught the end of that. I heard him saying something, or you saying something on it,
he
and I
sent an
was like,
email. He was
what's up with that?
he was pissed, man. He was not happy about the whole thing, right? So anyway, he's young. He'll get over it.
But you know what, Dave? If you try, you can do it. It's
You
no,
can do it.
anyone is capable. Anyone is
Yeah.
capable.
You can do it, Dave. Even a loser like you can do it, all right? Even a hating loser like you can lose weight on vacation. If Chris can do it, so your weight, I don't know, about a month ago you sent me a picture, you were 238. Give us an update as of today.
I weighed myself this morning and I am 231, sir.
Oh man, well how could you give the 220s back?
When I weighed myself, that was on like a half-ass scale at a gym, and it was 229,
Oh shit.
2 days ago, you
Yeah.
know.
Well, you're getting there. You're getting there.
Oh, I absolutely am, sir. I absolutely am. And the thing is, I have not been able to go to the gym and work out since October, since I had surgery and stuff. And you know, the docs, they'll always say, if they could tell you not to breathe while you're trying to recover, they would do it. And I wanted to go to the gym, and the doctors wouldn't let me go. So I had to negotiate with my wife. I was like, I got to be able to do something. And she was like, okay, well, you can ski and this and that, but you can't go to the gym. And so I think this Friday I'm going to see the doc for the last time. So hopefully he'll clear me to go to the gym, and I'll be back at it next Monday.
Well,
You know?
I would think that going to the gym might be less less strenuous for you that I mean in terms of than skiing, certainly, for God's sakes.
I think it's more of range of motion and
Well, all right.
honestly, you know, sir, honestly, the frickin', I'm sorry, the guy He wanted me to sit on my ass for 4 months and get better. And I'm just like, no, it's not gonna
Wait a
happen.
minute. Did you apologize for saying friggin'?
Well, yes, sir.
Okay, look, I'm not sure if you listen to the show very much, but we don't allow the word frig or frigging on this program. Okay? Do not disrespect the F word, okay? Do not dis
I respect the F word quite a bit,
Do
and
not disrespect the F word on this program. I won't stand for it. No, I agree with you. You know what? I mean, he's well, you know, ultimately he's probably trying to help you. You know, he's certainly trying to cover his own ass too, because if he, you know, doesn't tell you to sit on your ass for 4 months and something happens, he's going to get blamed and, you know, and whatnot. So
yeah,
it's
it's a complicated thing on their part,
No, it's
you know.
not.
And
It's
yes,
no, it's
you know.
not. It's easy. Cover your ass, cover the franchise, right?
Right, yeah, exactly, sir. Because it was such a litigious society, they're concerned about anything. You know, they're concerned, you know, oh, well, he told, well, I mean, honestly, no one wants to hear your medical stories. But this guy told, you know, this guy told me 2 weeks and you'll be back at it, you know. And okay, 2 weeks, that's fine. I'll give you four. You know, because you know it's medicine, and you know, not everybody's the same. But we're looking at 4 fucking months now, sir. You know what I mean? So 2 weeks to 4 months, no bueno. You know.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know.
I'm
So,
with you.
but you know what? That's it's. I've maintained my weight. Well, I actually lost weight since surgery, and you know. My wife keeps telling me, think about this, Chris. You're gonna be better when you go to the gym because you started out really heavy and not in shape, and now, you know, yes, you've gotten a little out of less, you know, I'm not in as good a shape as I was 4 months ago, but I'm not heavy like that, and I should be able to get it right back. You know, it's gonna take some work on my part, but
Yeah,
I'm
well, come
starting in
on.
a better place. You
Yeah,
know.
tell her to stuff it, okay? Look, nobody needs to put frosting on this cake, okay? I got it. I got it. right. We
Like I say to her, I said, the only person that knows what it takes is me because I've done it, you
Right.
know, and I know what it took and I know what it will take and I will do it. It's no questions asked, you know.
So we have to find a we have to get a nickname for you, like something like 8 Bills or something like that, right? Because you put on 300, you put on 300, no, 5 Bills. You put on 300, right? Now you're on the verge of losing 300, so we're gonna call you like 6 Bills, 6 Bill Chris or something like that.
That
The
sounds fine to me, sir.
Six Bill Chris. All right. Just so everybody knows, Chris Cox, got up to your 500 pounds. Could have been more, but he said the scale, that's as high as the scale would go. And you just heard him say he was at 231 pounds last time he weighed himself. So anyway, well, first of all, thanks for coming on and explaining to us, and hopefully Dave in Vacaville feels better about himself, but I wanted to make sure I closed the loop on that. So Chris, thanks for coming on this morning, and have a great ski.
Thank you very much, sir. Anytime.
There it is, Chris Cox. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.